God, we're back once again for the Radio St. Pete exclusive Indie Circuit. My name is Mal, with me as always,
Dr. Morbius,
from Parts Unknown, and this is the radio show dedicated to talking about all kinds of crazy Asian cult cinema.
That's right. Boy. Asian cult cinema. We've got a crazy one today.
Today is a very crazy one.
As usual.
But yes, watch any movies this week? Anything of note?
No.
Nothing?
No. No.
Yeah, I watched the... talked about a little bit. We have another show called Slow Robot A Go-Go. You can go to slowrobotagogo.wordpress.com, or, of course, Bunch of Dorks. There's a whole bunch of podcasts on there.
And dorks.
I watched You Burned... I bought the original Star Wars in a... found an old video cassette that was in really good shape, and it was very cheap. And this was before they got all doctored up. So I gave the tape to Dr. Morbius from Parts Unknown and asked him to burn it to a DVD for me, which he did. And I watched it last weekend. It was so great watching the original Star Wars unmessed with, unchanged, un-CG'd.
Unexpurgated.
Oh, it was so great. I loved it. You know, it was just so fun to see how it originally was. And I kind of wish it was a little bit more like that, you know.
This
show is being filmed before a live feline audience.
Yes. And the feline's looking at the door, but when you open it, he just sits there going like,
now he's ready to go out.
He's ready to go.
He's like, I'll leave on my own terms, thank you.
Come on, let's go.
That's Destructo the Cat, everyone.
Okay, it's time to go.
Wow, this is tedious.
Yes, this is great radio, by the way.
Okay, finally he's gone. Okay. So, I don't know, if you can find him anywhere before they were changed and rechanged and rechanged.
Basically on VHS.
Yeah.
Go to a thrift store.
Yeah, go get one. If you can find it. It's worth it because, boy, they're kind of, I don't know, it invoked a lot of nostalgic feelings, a lot of thinking about the time period, a lot of remembering why I loved them so much the first time. You know, when I watched them as a kid, I know Dr. Morbius does not care for these movies much.
They're okay. The first three are okay.
Boy, I loved them. And, you know, and I was at right prime. I was 8 years old.
Sure.
10 years old. Watching that, I was like, oh, my God. Darth Vader was the king, man. Loved Darth Vader. Yeah. So this was just a great outing, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But that's not what this is about.
No, this is about. I don't think there's any Asians in that movie. Are there? None that I can think of.
Nope.
Anyway.
Yes, so...
And now they make a new Star Wars movie every year. It's like clockwork. It used to take Lucas 20, 30 years to make another one.
Back in my day, it took 20, 30 years to make a movie.
Like, now Disney goes like, hey, you guys, we need another one in 6 months. You got it, Mr. Mouse, Mr. Disney. And boom.
And well, they back up with a truckload of money and say, make it happen. So... Yes. What are we watching today? What have I chosen for today's outing?
It's either called Ninja in the USA or USA Ninja. I don't know.
Yeah, Ninja in the USA.
Different titles.
There's always different titles with these. On, if you go to, it's USA Ninja, if you go to IMDb, if you really want to look up what we're talking about, it's from 1985. Very odd movie. I don't even really know how to describe this movie. It's like a martial arts movie, of course.
It definitely is. Yeah.
I mean, but it's so... Why are they speaking the way they speak? It's like it was filmed in English, then they dubbed it in Australia for English, and you're like, what?
I know what you mean.
These are not the voices of these people, and the ADR is out of that grindhouse of the old movies, of the old kung fu movies. So you're like, that's... odd. Like,
yeah. I don't know. I think I was talking to a friend of mine who said there's another dubbing of it, but I don't think it's the original people talking. Maybe they had ADR because some people were speaking in Thai, and they said, well, I might as well do the whole movie, you know, make it consistent sounding or whatever. And that the black guy being dubbed by a white dude making doing his black that was comical.
It's like blackface. And it's racist, the same as it's the same as blackface. It really is.
Yeah, it kind of is. Yeah, you know, maybe not. You know, but yeah, yes and no.
That was crazy. And this is one of those. I was happy. I'm glad we watched it.
Yeah,
this was a funny movie. Like it was funny. Like I laughed at it a lot because it was just.
It was funny.
You're like, what are we doing here? You know, and it's not like it's so inept that they didn't know what they were doing. This was a fine movie as far as. It was a movie. You didn't see boom mics. You didn't see mistakes. They shot correctly and it was positioned correctly, but they just did the weirdest things. And you're like, why are you doing this? What is this? You know?
Yeah.
But overall, I laughed a lot at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It starts out. Now the montage that starts the movie is actually the ending of the movie, which means we're 10 minutes short. What are we going to do? They took the beginning of the ending of the movie and reshot everything up to the final fight as the credit sequence that brings you into the movie. And you're like, all right, okay.
Yeah, settle down. You just made it 70 minutes, not 75, not 85. You know?
Nope.
You don't really have to, but somebody said, no, it's got to be 125. Okay.
Yeah, so you get this crazy action scene.
And the other thing, too, is like, and my friend said, yes, they do. And I'm asking you because... You've watched a lot of martial arts movies. Do they all end as abruptly as this? I mean, the resolution on this is like, what happened to her or that?
We don't even know if she was alive.
I know. I was like, did she live? Did she make it through?
Did the other guy live? Did anyone live?
Yeah.
They all end like this. It is, and I don't know why this, I thought for the longest time it was just because where I was getting them or how I was getting them. I swear, other than some of the high budget things, I don't think I've ever seen an old style kung fu movie that doesn't go, yes, whew, end, the end. It's like a red screen that says end, and that's it cuts off a second later, and you're like, okay, how expensive was film back then?
and this was put out by a famous / infamous company called Ocean Shores, who put out hundreds of kung fu movies, of which my friend bought hundreds of videotapes. That
really?
I told you the story before.
Well, yeah, I knew the story.
In Hialeah, where we were buying, he was buying all the company, all the stores were going out of business. He bought all their videos or whatever.
I don't recall Ocean Shores, but that doesn't mean anything.
They put out hundreds of movies. It was funny because the movie ends, this is the end, then it goes to a disclaimer, and Ocean Shores basically says that this movie is copyright. This is only licensed for commercial use. There's no renting or no this or no that. And I'm going like, what? You can't rent this? Oh, give me a... So they basically wanted you to buy it for $60 a pop.
Good luck, Ocean Shores.
Like, good luck, Ocean Shores.
Every now and then the watermark would come onto the screen.
Now, these movies are highly collectible. Some of these movies go for hundreds on eBay, believe it or not.
Wow.
To the kung fu people.
Your friend should sell.
He has.
That's what I was going to say.
He sold doubles. He has.
Make your money, brother.
He has, yeah. These movies are very collectible to some people. It's surprising how... There's some real crazy fandom for even ninja movies and stuff like that. I mean, everything's got a subculture, but there's this real strong one for these movies.
Well, it was a different time. 80, like mid, we have time. In the mid-80s, you know, ninja craze kind of took over.
Big time, yeah.
Like kung fu and karate movies morphed into the ninja movies.
There was a movie called Enter the Ninja with Franco Nero. That kind of changed the game a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bruce Lee clones kind of started dying out.
Yeah,
they
got so odd.
Yeah,
trying to make a new kind of kung fu and trying to make a new kind of gimmick.
Gymkhana.
Yeah, and at the end you're like, what am I watching here? So at ninjas. Ninjas. And
I always said that if Gymkhana ever had a sequel, they would call it Karastics. That would be the
opposite. Why not? Who cares?
Anyway,
I'd watch it.
Yes.
For this
with
show,
Kurt
probably.
Kurt Thomas, the gymnast.
And Tim Thomerson as the surly coach.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back, and we're going to get into the USA like a ninja.
USA Ninja. Or you Ninja in the USA.
I know, I was doing a pun.
Oh, were you? I stepped all over
it. It's okay. It wasn't a good
point. Trailers.
I got robbed by a sweet old lady on a motorized cart. I didn't even see it coming.
Get ready for the wildest cross-country trailer truck chase in the history of the American highway. Get ready for The Great Smoky Roadblock. Starring Henry Fonda, Eileen Brennan, John Viner, Doug Taylor, and Dana House as Celeste Lay. The Great Smoky Roadblock. It's the fanciest trucking you've ever seen. From Dimension Pictures, rated PG, parental guidance suggested.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
All right, now on with the show. Now we are talking about USA Ninja. And yes. Now it starts out like, this starts out where they come out of the courtroom, right? Where they're like, they show, like, they're like, oh, how'd you, there's this big beefy dude with a beard, and he's like, oh, how'd you get out? You know, all the witnesses
got... Tiger.
Yeah. All the witnesses died. Is that why you got it loose? And he's like, I didn't do anything wrong, and leave me alone. I'm just a good citizen, and whatever. See you later. Yeah. And the girl that's interviewing him is like, hmp. And he gets into a car, and they're trying to make him rich, but this car was beat. Anyway, so he drives away, and she's like, I'm gonna get that guy, and
I want a Pulitzer Prize. She really wants that Pulitzer Prize. Oh, really, God.
So she's a sassy journalist, whatever.
And she's got her boyfriend who's gonna get married to her, and his brother is like a cop or something. And
this is a little bit much, but anyway.
So anyway, we'll get the two brothers after a while.
The rich guy with a beard drives up, and he gets out to his compound. And he goes and meets, like, the Legion of Doom. Or the Legion of Evil, I guess you'd say. Because he's like...
He meets the Seattle Seahawks, yeah, defensive back?
Yes. Yep.
Wow. I didn't think they were around in 85.
And they were drug dealers back then. As opposed to just...
Cornerbacks.
Yeah, quarterbacks. So I was going to say something derogatory, but I'm not going to.
Not going to.
So he's like, oh, our friend from Mexico. Oh, glad to see you, and thanks for all the coke. And then here's this guy, and he's like, oh, thanks. I really love being evil. And everyone's like, yay for evil. And he's like, okay, let's go, and I'll show you my compound. And he lives in this thing that looks like a pyramid.
Yeah, it's a cool looking.
It's a weird pyramid house. And I was like, okay, whatever, I guess. Now he's walking around, and there's just an army of ninja.
Yes.
That are training under him. And he's, like, leading this group, and they're all doing all the ninja stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
they're practicing ninja. Yeah. And in their ninja robes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he goes, watch how loyal this guy is. He's like, you, go scale that cliff. Hi. And he grabs a grappling hook. He says, no, no hook. So the guy just jumps off and kills himself. And you're like,
yeah.
Well, all those hours of training were just wasted to show some idiot from Mexico or whatever, like, how loyal they are or whatever. Yeah. So he's like, I'll tell you what. Now that we're running all the drugs, and we're all the drugs are us. You guys,
drugs are us, yeah, isn't that like
a little store, backwards R, you know?
Store, yeah.
Yep, and he goes, you guys send me all your army, and I'll train them like my ninja, and we're gonna just rule the world with ninja.
Yeah, we're good ninjas and drugs.
Ninjas and drugs, dude, all day, every day. And you go, okay, I guess that's a plan.
That's a thing.
I guess. I mean, you better sling a lot of drugs to, like, just to feed and clothe those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're living at your compound. You can't send them home
and
go.
You gotta dry clean their clothes, their ninja outfits.
Whatever.
You know?
So whatever. He's making good money. And then, now we're going to, now the girl's like, oh, I'm gonna get married to this guy. And then they meet him somewhere, and he's like, oh, we're good friends, and he's gonna be at our wedding.
Yeah, yeah.
She's
yeah.
like, I'm still gonna arrest him, or I'm still gonna, like, bust him.
I want my Pulitzer Prize.
My Pulitzer Prize, yeah.
Yeah, okay, we got it.
Yeah, exactly. But so he's at the wedding, and help me out here.
Something happens at the wedding. They're at the wedding. The guy and his brother. Okay, the brother's a cop, and he's like, I don't know what he does. He has a wedding, and the dad, before they go to the wedding, the dad's like, you're going to take care of my girl, right? Oh, yeah, 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 here's her brother, and you meet the family, blah, blah. You're going to be good to her. Yeah, 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 we're going to be fine, whatever, okay. Yeah.
That's then, right. Then the evil henchmen are chasing some random dude down the street.
Yeah.
Like, out of nowhere. And you're like, what is this about? That's where this is. Because this guy is running from there's a bearded, not the bearded head guy. There was like a goatee-wearing henchman, and then there's a black guy henchman. They're kind of the two second-tier heavies.
Yeah,
and then there's the army of whatever.
Yeah, the army of ninja.
And the two guys are chasing down this other dude who's just foppishly running around. and he stumbles into all of them and puts some a roll of film into her bouquet.
At the wedding.
At the wedding, and you're like...
I thought he was planting a bomb on her or something.
I did, too. I thought he was going to blow the wedding up.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been Revenge Tale right away.
And the movie over.
I would have preferred it. I like my Revenge Tale right out in the open, quick and easy, you know.
Okay.
But they're making us work for this one. So, now, they go, oh, we'll take care of this. The henchmen take him off and just beat him to death or whatever happens. So, now they're going on their honeymoon... And he's trying to be all sexy time, and she's being coy.
And she finds the thing, accidentally laying on the ground.
The film falls out of her bouquet, and she's like, oh, I gotta go develop these. And I was like, you gotta go develop these? I think your wedding might, or your marriage might be in trouble.
I'm starting to develop something that we need to take care of, as opposed to your stupid film. You
no
know?
Sexy time for this guy. She's out developing film, and I was like, I don't think your marriage is gonna last. But whatever,
well, whatever.
I could be wrong, you know. So she's like, oh, there's time for that anytime. I'm going to go in my Pulitzer and pictures. And so she's developing these pictures very rapidly. And he's just sitting there. And she's like, oh, look, you know, I found these are the pictures that incriminate that guy, the headed bearded guy, Tiger.
Tiger, yeah.
And then we go to a flashback. And you're like, wait, what is this
now? A
flashback. Oh, I was like, that's... Ooh, you know, I grew up in the 80s, and I'll tell you what, there was a lot of NEM flashbacks in the
80s. Well, you know, a lot of the guys came back in the 70s pretty messed up. And,
I know, and they love to shove our noses in it, but as a kid who was all wrapped up in the Russians are coming to get us, I didn't know nor care about NEM. But our noses were shoved in it like the proverbial.
Well,
like,
it was a good way to make a war movie, wasn't it?
Simple.
We couldn't do World War II anymore.
Yep.
So we got to have the angry, crazy non-veteran. I mean, Platoon. Platoon.
Yeah.
Born on the 4th of July. Whatever. All that stuff.
Well,
you know?
Platoon.
Platoon.
Yeah,
also,
yeah. And
okay.
So this is like one of those things where you're like, and the
The Coppola one. Which one? Apocalypse Now.
No, Apocalypse Now,
ultimate,
yeah.
The ultimate NOM movie, you know?
So, this is... And the B-movies do this all the time because they literally shoot NOM in, like, a parking garage.
Or in the Philippines, one or the other.
Yeah. But you've seen it, right? Where they were like, the movie we did, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago, they were trying to pretend there was this flashback in NOM when that bomb went off. And it was literally in, like, a parking garage. And you're like, that's not...
Well, this is in Taiwan, so it's closer to the source or whatever.
So whatever, you know. So he's having... The guy who's on his honeymoon has a NOM flashback where this bearded soldier, an army soldier, saves two little babies. And he was one of the babies.
And
him
his
and
brother.
His brother.
The other one.
And you're like, what are you... That,
he's
what?
My buddy. He saved us. You know,
that's
he's like our dad.
That's as absurd as Darth Vader building C-3PO and R2-D2.
Yeah.
You're like, too far, dude. Too far.
Well,
just,
you know.
They had to do something because now the brothers are kind of saying, leave him alone. He saved our lives.
And she's like, no, I want my Pulitzer. He's a drug dealer. I want my Pulitzer.
Yeah,
screw
like,
you.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't say that, can I?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
So she's like, I'm going to do it anyway. So she, after we come back from the flashback, and you're like, okay, wow, that was odd. So now she runs into her editor, and she's like, I have proof, look. And she's digging through her purse. Somebody took the pictures out. Well, he took the pictures out.
Yeah.
You know. And I will say, before we go to break, I lost a lot of which one are we looking at and why. Like, they showed the brothers back and forth a lot.
Yeah.
And they tried to make one look cool and one look square. They kind of looked really similar. And they kind of, like, acted similar. So you're like, okay, now this is the cool one, I guess. But now you're the cop, right? Now what did you do again? I don't know. You know, maybe they were both cops. One was a detective.
I don't know. I know one definitely was, like, a Miami Vice cop. Because
yeah.
He had the Miami Vice. And the other guy just looked like a regular dude. I don't remember.
Yeah, I know
he was a martial artist. And they were both pretty good martial artists. There's a lot of action in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Fights all the time.
Fights all the time. So it's definitely, like, you know, it's good in that sense.
And then, boy, the fights were crazy fast.
Crazy fast. Yeah.
And that was fun. That's one of the things that kept it going for me, because... There was a lot of nonsense, and there was a lot of, people walking around, but they would get into these fights, and the fight scenes were really good, and it was that action-packed, nonstop punch. Now, again, before we're at break, but they don't mention this guy's... No, the brothers are just the brothers who are good at martial arts. And then there's this army of ninjas that fights for the bad guy. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about it later. Like 10 minutes left of this movie, the head bad guy, Tiger, goes, "You don't know what you've done. He's the best ninja in the world." I was like, 10 minutes left, you're telling us he's the ninja? Like, what? You know what? That's... You got... What? Like... I was like, "He, what are you... Huh?" Like, it was...
I just took it as, okay, good.
Boom, surprise ninja. Like, out of nowhere, I was like, but not with 10 minutes left, like...
Well, he trains to be a ninja, doesn't he? The other brother?
No, but they showed that flashback of him becoming a ninja was a ninja, and you're
you're right, I forgot about
but
that.
But I was like,
yeah,
not with 10 minutes left, man. Have him ninja
surprise
something.
Surprise ending.
Boom, surprise ninja.
Adios mio.
That's the one. We'll be right back.
Can't trust a South American drug lord. Who can you trust, huh?
Brace yourselves. It's happening again. That same sense of horror. That same moment of silence before death explodes. No one can stop him. No one can escape a bludgeoning fury, no longer human, creating a nightmare of blood again and again. His trail, a cloud of terror. His trademark, the severed arm. Starring Deborah Wally.
He's already killed two men. He's mutilated a third. Now what the hell do you want, lady?
Severed arm. Rated R.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
The Severed Arm.
We watched that movie.
We sure did.
On Slow Robot.
We watched 100 million movies on Slow Robot.
Yeah, at least.
We're up to show... Slow Robot is a show we do...
290?
Yeah, we did 290 this week, the B-movie review show.
Yes.
And boy, that's a lot of B-movie. Okay, back to the show. Now, because they can't find the pictures and it's been leaked to the bad guys, the black guy and the goatee guy, the two heavies, they go and they steal his wife.
Yeah, they kidnap her.
They kidnap her and they, like, ransack the house. And our hero comes back and he's like, "That's weird. Where's my wife?" And then they're like, "Oh, you know," I forget how they tell him. They don't tell him with that videotape. The videotape's later, but...
Oh, yeah.
But
okay.
They're like, just like, oh, they I guess she calls or something like that. They call and say, "We got your wife. You got to give us back our pictures and the negatives." And the dad comes in and he's like, "You were supposed to protect my daughter."
They killed her son.
Yeah, they killed his son.
Her brother or something.
Yeah, her brother was with them. And they came in and they just beat him to death.
Yeah, when they beat him, the black guy punched him to death.
Like,
whatever.
So weird. He punched him like 100 million times.
Yeah, at least.
It was funny. So now they have her tied up and now they kind of did this without Tiger knowing about it, because he gets pretty angry about it. He's like, "What are you doing? You know, I didn't tell you to do this. I
said
you can get the film back, and then let's get this done with." He's not like... he's just kind of saying like, "I respect them. They saved them.
They're kind of like family.
They are family to me.
You know, mm-hmm. I don't want them to be hurt or anything like that. Not yet, anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is weird. So they say no. Well, first he says he's going to do it, but then they don't do it.
Yeah.
And the cop brother gets involved, and they start fighting because they keep pushing. Like, where he's trying to get his wife... all he cares about now is getting his wife back.
Of course. Yeah.
And the cop's pushing to, like, saying... because the cop's kind of on Tiger's side, saying, "Give me the film. Let's just
end this right now. Yeah. We don't want any more problems, you know."
Well, let him go. We're going to let him go now, you know.
Yeah, we're going to let him go. You get your wife back, you know.
Everything's good, you know.
Yeah.
And then...
But then he gets the videotape from the black guy.
Yeah.
Who they're like... they're basically filming themselves raping his wife. And then the black guy goes, "Hey, if you don't come and give us a film... it's going to be worse than this. We're going to end up killing her or whatever. And he gets a videotape right at his doorstep.
Yeah, and that's when he goes full-on ninja.
Yeah, exactly.
And he goes nuts. But right before that, though, was what I thought was the most iconic scene in the movie. Because there's, like, lots of him wandering around looking for his wife. Who cares?
That's right. He goes to the bars.
He's like, where is my wife? And they're like, I don't know what a wife is. So that just goes nowhere, and who cares? So then like, there's a part where they meet in the parking lot, in a parking garage, and they're surrounded by all these motorcycles with these men. Yeah. They're all riding the dirt bikes, and they all have the MX gear on, the motocross gear with the helmets and all that kind of stuff. And this is an incredible fight scene.
Yeah.
It's the two brothers, and they are just fighting these guys on dirt bikes, and they're going at it, and, you know, they're driving over cars, and they're punching and hitting each other. And this is incredibly sped up. And one of the funniest things of, they speed up kung fu movies a lot. That's a very normal trip. But it's like 1.5%. This is sped up like 12%. They forgot the decimal point. Because they'd be running and it looks like the Flash.
That. You want to hear like yakety sacks or something.
Yeah, like the Flash came running through. And then he's like, oh my God. And they're like, oh, let's fight now. Yeah, and then they're doing it. And they're doing that exaggerated fight style, which is very, I actually like it a lot. Where they do like an exaggerated punch and they stop at the end and they go, at the end of a punch or kick, they like leave it there for a second, then they pull it back and they start doing their next move. It's almost like a, I don't know, it's just like a stop action kind of thing, but it's neat. And it's a stylistic choice that I think looks really good, especially on these older ones.
Yeah.
You know, we're very used to very flowing, good choreographed fights, but that was kind of a cool way of doing it back then. And these brothers do this, the bicycle kick where they double kick somebody in the chest like 7 million times. Like, that's like, instead of punching someone, they double kick them in the chest, and they do it over and over and over again, which those guys, I don't know how they could walk with their spine had to be, you know, up there, up to the top of their head.
Yeah, there you
so
go.
They beat up these guys on the motorcycles, and I forget why, but there was a big falling out with the brothers.
Right.
And he's like, you get out of here. You've done more harm than good. I'm going to go get my wife. And I think when he went to get her when she was tied up, and the brother kind of did something stupid.
I don't remember that.
I'm sorry.
Part. I don't remember
yeah,
that
but
part.
So now the brother's really angry. The brothers have
they
split
separate.
Up. They separate, and it's just the one guy, just that guy. And now Tiger finds out that they did something to the guy's wife, raping her, and he also found out that they mailed him a thing, and he was like, wow, you're really, he's saying this to his number two, he's like, you're in trouble, because he's like the world's greatest ninja, and he's going to come and cut your head off.
Yeah, and then you get the flashback of him becoming a ninja.
That's where I was like, surprise, ninja, come on, movie. But you let it go, because you're like, meh, okay, surprise, ninja, what are you going
to
do?
We're getting close to the end, yeah, we're good.
Yeah. So now he's like,
so for like 10 minutes, you see him training to be a ninja with the master or whatever.
And it was so weird. The weird thing from the training montage, and I've never seen this before or after, is like ninjas would come out of nowhere and he'd stab them, but they'd be dummies. And you're like, well, what? Like, they were, like, you remember what I'm talking about? Like, you'd think it was obviously a person, then it became an obvious dummy, and you're like, but they showed it like that.
Yeah.
They weren't hiding
that
it was a dummy. They were saying, oh, look, we weren't really killing people. He was practicing on dummies, but now we're just using magical forces to move dummies or something. I was like, okay, whatever, dude. And it was fine. There was just that standard ninja stuff. You've seen it over and over and over again, you know, with the running. The other thing, I did love how they did the ninja run. Now, there's all, if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about, where they put their hand up over their, like they kind of hide their face with their, like a cape.
And
they run in a very tiny, exaggerated step.
And they run right at the camera.
And they go like it's like they're running in sped up, but they're not. They're like, that's their normal cadence. And it's just, it looks like a video game from the 80s. It's very, but that, anytime ninjas were doing that kind of stuff, that's how they showed them, you know. Like, samurai always took very long, exaggerated, long sweeping steps, and ninjas always did that, like they're on a bicycle, but there's no bicycle there.
Right.
They did that for the whole movie, the rest of the movie. And now it's just the part that you saw over the credits.
Yeah, well,
and he just lays waste to everyone, and
and then their final fight with the tiger.
Yeah, well, and yeah, they get through, they kill the black guy horribly. which was great. I really wanted him to do bad things, and they did. He killed him, and the black guy did get some shots in on him, but not many.
Right.
They did that, you know, to retribution. Now, they showed her still alive there.
And then the other brother ends up showing up, too, and starts shooting some of the guys.
Yeah.
He decided, okay, we're brothers. We got to get back together to get these guys or whatever. So he comes back, kills some of the henchmen, shoots them.
He has machine guns, and this is the worst machine gun fire I've ever seen. They're just... It's like if you took a machine gun and you held it at your waist and you just went back and forth like you were bopping a floor. And I was like, would you stop and aim? You're just throwing bullets away.
Stop
being so wasteful with your shooting.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but whatever. Yeah. You know, you're just suppressing fire. And, you know, so the brother's like killing those guys and he's like, okay, we're friends now and I'll go beat up Tiger. You know, and...
So then they got a big battle royale and through the woods and then... In the house, and they jump into the woods, and they end up like at a waterfall.
And Tiger takes his shirt off, and Tiger's ripped.
Yeah, that Tiger dude, looks like a Hercules.
That
dude,
yeah, he could have been Hercules. That's what he looked like.
With that beard and all that stuff. Yeah.
I was like, ooh, someone was hitting the gym.
Yeah,
or steroids, or probably both.
Well,
you know?
The other guy too, Alexander. Oh God, what was his last name? Not low, way low. I don't know what his name is. Anyway, he's a well known martial artist. He was pretty buff too.
Yeah. These
guys. They're both beating the crap out of each other, and then they have waterfall, and then. That's when I was telling you. It's like all of a sudden, it's like finally, you know, the good guy beats him, kills him.
Tiger jump up.
Falls, and then the end. And you don't know what happened to the wife. You don't know anything. Because
the wife disappeared.
Yeah, after the
she
rape
was,
scene.
Well, she was tied up as come and get her in the middle, right when he fought the black guy, but then they pushed the cart towards him, and then she was gone.
We did miss a couple of scenes like that. One that was kind of cool when they call him up and they say, "Hey, we got your wife here," and she's all tied up. And when he walks up to her, it's like the thing grabs him and flies him up into the air or whatever. But anyway, you know,
there was a lot. There was
a lot of stuff that we're missing, but it's a goofy, not a bad.
Yeah,
movie.
This
it's
is
okay.
a goofy movie. Like, I don't even know like how to kind of classify it. It's not like it is a ninja movie.
Yeah,
and these guys
it's
are
martial arts.
These guys are very fine martial artists. I mean, you could tell they were real martial artists.
Yeah.
Not all the henchmen, of course, but a lot of the people doing stuff in this were quite established martial artists.
It's made during the ninja craze.
Yeah, but you're like, what are we looking at here? It's just a lot of stuff is kind of like, you know, I don't know, why is that scene even in there? What does it add or detract? You know,
I've seen worse.
Oh well, yeah, we've done worse on this show, like pretty much every other week. So, you know, I did laugh a lot. I had a lot of fun with it, to be honest with you. It wasn't like it was a...
It was fast-paced.
And they didn't show the rape scene. They alluded to it and then cut away, and thank God for that.
It was fast-paced.
You know.
It was alright.
Yeah. As far as revenge flicks... For a revenge flick, it was okay. That was just a reason to go beat people up. It was very meh. What's the cheapest, easiest way to do this? Well, here's some kidnap fodder.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly. Yeah. So
the girl I thought was from something, but I can't tell you what.
Yeah, I don't.
I've seen her in a million things, but maybe I've seen her in nothing. She just might have reminded me of every hoof I've ever seen, you know.
Yeah. What was her name?
Penny.
Yeah, but her
Rosalind Yu.
Known
for USA Ninja.
There you go. So you saw her in nothing
I
else.
I saw her in nothing
movie.
Else, but she sure looks like everyone else.
It was just your imagination,
and
once again.
George Nicholas, who played Tiger McPherson.
He's been in a bunch of movies.
Nine movies, all ninja stuff. So.
Yeah, man.
So he was like, yay for the 80s. And then he was like, boo for everything else.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a time.
I'll surprise you with this one. I'm saying this is a 7.
I'll give it a 6. I'm not going to go that crazy.
Yeah, I know.
But I think it's worth
I love the
out.
Motorcycle fight.
Oh,
I love
go.
That, man. That was so exciting. You know?
That was in the parking lot, right?
Yep,
something.
In the parking garage. It was very cool, very fast-paced and fun. That might be a bit high, but I'll stick with it. Who cares?
Hey,
you know, 7 is a 7. It doesn't matter.
You can't go back now.
Yeah, you're like, once you say it, you can't unsay it.
Too late to turn back now. More song references. Yeah, but anyway.
So, guys, they go out and find USA Ninja. It's going to be
on YouTube.
YouTube, because I don't know if you're going to find it anywhere else.
Get it before it's gone.
Get it before it's $120 on eBay.
Yeah, you're not kidding. On VHS. On a beat-up VHS.
At some point, it's cheaper just to make a reproduction of the VHS and sell it.
basically.
Whatever.
But people want the packaging, man.
I guess
they
I could.
The packaging.
I'm pretty sure I could get that fake too. All right, that's it for this week. My name's Matt. With me, as always,
Dr. Morbius,
and we'll see you next week for more Asian cult shenanigans, or shenanigans, as it were,
or cinema,
or that. That's a thing too. All right, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week.
We have clearance, Clarence.
Roger, Roger. What's our vector, Victor?
Howard radio clearance, over.
That's clearance, over.
Over.
Roger.
Huh?